Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is paranormal investigator and empath Don Staggs. And you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is intuitive and remote viewer Harvey Althouse, and I want to wish the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, congratulations on 7 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com. Way to go, Sophia. You rock.
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And ghost huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth. And you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30-Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Roth, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickRoffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Congratulations to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, for celebrating 7 years of broadcasting on LiveParanormal.com.
That's right, it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I'm John Temporelli, co-author and editor of Heaven Can You Hear Me? By the late famed Fox sighting psychic and legendary paranormal researcher Peter James. And yes, this is hands down the world's most unique paranormal broadcast, where 20-year-old Sophia Temporelli discusses all the latest haunt topics with all the paranormal field experts themselves. And today is no exception. However, I want to thank Rob Sirk, the site founder of LiveParanormal.com, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators. Thank you guys so much for patching us through at live events. We had no internet connection. Guys, thank you so much for all of your help over the years. Today we have Ron the Yakman Yakovetti. He's the host reporter for Paranormal 13 News. He's an MMA and boxing commentator, a stand-up comedian, paranormality series host, unseen paranormal contributor, and Island Paranormal Society key paranormal researcher. And Ron will be joining us here live on the Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli Show. Everyone, visit islandparanormalsociety.com. That's islandparanormalsociety.com. TheyGoUnseen.com, and that's unseen as in, you know, seen spelt like a movie, S-C-E-N-E. So TheyGoUnseen.com, also at UnseenPara on Twitter, also Facebook search Ron Yakovetti. Coming up, we have Katrina Weidman. It's either going to be next Saturday or the Saturday after. Travel Channel has booked Katrina Weidman. They're just securing the date that she'll be on. So we'll fill you in on when that is coming up. She's going to be promoting her new series with Jack Osborne, Portals to Hell, coming up. And so we'll be talking to her, and it's going to be fantastic. So we can't wait for that, and securing the date as we speak. So Sophia Temporelli Facebook fan page to learn about the guests as we learn of them real time. We post them there. And also, too, like lightparanormal.com Facebook group page, and a lot of great new paranormal field expert panel roundups on the weekends, and new broadcasters added to the lineup here at LP. Also, too, memberships, they start as low as $2.99 a month here at Live Paranormal, and so a lot of great autographed books by some of your favorite paranormal authors. Rob Sarek, he's great at rewarding the audience and people that join the memberships. Also, support the vendors here at liveparanormal.com. And so also as well, liveparanormal.com starting tonight at 8 p.m. Eastern, Beyond the Screen and Ghost Light Radio, as well as monthly Mondays right here, Chip Coffee of A&E's Paranormal State and Psychic Kids, as well as Ben Hansen, Amy Goodwin, David M. Roundtree, Stefan Brigati, Andy and Michelle Kopic, Ken Gearhard, and many more right here on this very network. If you miss anything, archive shows, they're available as free MP4 iTunes downloads on the homepage of liveparanormal.com under the archive section, of course. And also, too, we have here the ghost host. I'm trying to unmute as we speak here. Here we go. Sophia, are you there?
Hello.
Well, so congratulations, Sophia. You're coming up on 8 years of broadcasting here on Live Paranormal. 7 years in, you're doing a fantastic job. You've helped a lot of people through the years. It's amazing, Sophia. You're doing a really great job. We couldn't be prouder of you.
Thank you. It's been an awesome almost 8 years.
I know. 8 years coming up. I mean, yeah, that'll be June. So we're going to have a big celebration as always. You always have a lot of experts in the field calling in and a lot of favorite authors, parapsychologists. You even have Wiccans that have been calling in when you were 12 and celebrating your first year. Now it's going to be coming up on your 8 years. So you're doing a fantastic job. But you got all these things. You got the Instagram, the Twitter, all these different things. Where can people find you?
So I'm on Twitter at Sophia Temporelli with one L, and Instagram just at Sophia Temporelli.
Yeah, because you got a really long name, so you have to drop an L. So You just drop an L in Sophia Temporelli, and pretty much works across the board there. And we have a great friend of the great friend to us as a family. Tell us about our guest today, Sophia.
Today we welcome Ron Iacovetti, host reporter for Paranormal 13 News. He is also on Paranormal Itty series host, Unseen Paranormal contributor, and Island Paranormal Society key paranormal researcher. Our family has investigated the Omen House with Ron several times, and now, finally, we are able to have him as a guest on the show. Everyone visit islandparanormalsociety.com, thegounseen.com, at Unseen Para, Facebook Ron Iacovetti. Let's welcome him into the show.
I know you said paranormal itty very well, so if you messed that up in the prelogue there. But let's bring Ron on. Let's see. There he is. We got him. Ron, thanks for coming on today.
Hey, everybody. Thank you so much for having me on. I've been very much looking forward to this for a while. I actually have a spirit box in my hand now. That's how much I was excited to do this.
Oh, wow.
Well, thank you so much for coming on today, Ron. We're happy to finally have you on.
Yeah. I believe the first time that we actually met, too, was at the Glen Tavern Inn during the – I think it was one of the con-cons.
Yeah,
Debbie's,
that was
right.
A while ago with Jason Gates and Amy Goodwin and Chad Lindbergh. Everyone was there. It was a really great event.
Yeah, that event was fantastic. That was when I first I love ITC, Instrumental Transcommunication. And that was where I fell in love with it, because I watched 30-something people on the third floor of the Glen Tavern introduce themselves, and then it got around to the last two, and then Debbie said, "Hi, I'm Debbie," and then Chad said, "I'm Chad," and like 30 seconds the most later, the clearest I've ever heard, it went, "I know Chad." I went, "What device is that? I have to get one."
Yeah, and his counting game.
Yeah.
That's right.
That was a really great event. We sat in the closet area of one of the rooms at the Glen Tavern Inn with Amy Goodwin, and then I found out that someone was beheaded and their body was put in there. So I was like, wow, Amy, thank you for taking me in here. That's exactly where I want to sit.
Yeah. How old were you at that time?
I think I was 14 or 15.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I was older than that, but when I heard I Know Chad very clear, I felt like I was 14 or 15. I was like, this is exciting. I've never heard this before. And so, yeah, that was where my fascination with ITC stuff was born, because that was phenomenal to me that something said that so clearly.
Yeah, it's definitely
they're amazing.
A great location. And I know that you now live on the East Coast, and there's so many amazing locations back there. Can you tell us what you kind of most look forward to investigating when you move over to the East Coast?
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, oddly, you named one of them, Omen House, Glen Tavern, Queen Mary. I know you guys have done countless hours on. Those are still three of my favorite places. But when I moved back here in 2014, which I'm originally from New Jersey, so I've lived in New Jersey and in Los Angeles. So the one thing I have never seen is clean air. Fresh air I have not seen ever in those two locations. But I came back and I was working with a group that wasn't very active, and then I got involved with more groups. And so out here, there are a lot of really, really old, I know there's 1600s places. In Fieldsboro, New Jersey, South New Jersey, White Hill Mansion. I know Nick Roth had been there before.
Yeah.
It was on Paranormal Lockdown. Phenomenal location. Just across the Hudson River at New York City, which I can see from where I live now, Morris Jamel Mansion. And I think the Morris Jamel episode of Ghost Adventures was when they had Bill Chappell first debut the SLS camera, the Kinect, with the stick figures. That's right across the river from here. Another fantastic location as well. There's so many old 1700s places. Of course, Gettysburg, not far from here. The Shanley Hotel, not to be confused with the Stanley in Colorado. The Shanley Hotel in Napanock or Ellenville, New York, about an hour and a half from here. The longer I've been here and worked with some of the different teams, the more I've found out how much of a wealthy with paranormal activity in places there are. How much there is to do. When I first moved back, I didn't know anything. I didn't know where do you go. And but apparently there is it's an embarrassment of riches almost here.
Yeah, I mean, there's so many, you know, haunted locations on the East Coast. I would love to get out that way sometime. California can be kind of hard to find locations, but there are some really great haunted locations around here.
Yeah, no, for sure. And you know, like I said, you mentioned a few of them we have both gotten the opportunity to do. I'll be honest with you, though, with all the really, really cool places and historic value and stuff that there is on some of these East Coast places, and that's I'm talking from even just Massachusetts down to Virginia, I would still say that the most consistently active place that delivers on evidence, because you know as better than I do that you can't ever guarantee evidence, but the most consistent place I've ever been still, David Omen's house.
Yeah, David Omen definitely has a very interesting house. You never know what you're going to get there.
No, but it's been so, like, every time I have gone, there has been something noteworthy that happened when I was there, including the last couple of years where I go back for vacation sometimes in around November, and David will say, yeah, just come on over, and we'll have dinner and then just run amok through the house. And every single time, it's fantastic. That place is unbelievable.
He's
One of the most interesting pieces of evidence I've gotten was at David's house. I was sitting at his third floor theater room, and I just had the Ghost Radar app on, and I wasn't investigating. I was just hanging out with my friend at one of his parties, and my Ghost Radar actually said pig, and I was like, okay, which if anyone doesn't know, that's what the Manson crew actually wrote in blood during the Sharon Tate murders. So I was very surprised to actually get that on the Ghost Radar app, because I had never gotten that word before, and I've never gotten that since.
Yeah, his house is fascinating. 2 years ago, my girlfriend and I were back there, and this little cat toy, which lights up if you touch it, was going off on command when we asked it to. Now, the first time, he has a video on YouTube he put up. The first time we're walking in the dark, she hit it with her foot, and so we debunked that afterwards, went, okay, if you touch it, it goes off. She hit it with her foot. But then we wanted to see if it had a reactivation where it would come on again and then off again and then on again, like a series of times for each physical touch. It does not. So every time we asked afterwards for that thing to light up, it lit up on command. And then at the end of the session, we thanked the spirits for doing what they did. And the little keyboard on the bar on the other side of the room played a little jingle by itself. And I was like, what?
Oh, wow.
It was unbelievable. Yeah, it just played. And
well,
the other thing that's
definitely...
very... Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say that's amazing to have happen with, you know, something that's not an actual instrument, to have it light up in that manner.
Yeah, it was crazy. And then something that was Manson related, we were doing a spirit box thing on the bottom floor, just across from where the popcorn machine is that he had by the big movie projection wall. And I never ever brought up Sharon Tate and Charles Manson stuff when I went there. Usually, I would just try to get what I could get. I would try not to ice it, other than Jack Johnson, because I'm a fight fan. I worked in the fight industry, and he's got a huge, amazing collection of Jack Johnson. For those who don't know, first black heavyweight champion. So I was asking those specific questions, but the Manson Tate stuff I usually didn't, you know, dive into with specifics. That night that I was last there was a year ago, November, when Manson was on his deathbed but still alive. And it was just my girlfriend and I, and David was upstairs, and we asked during a spirit box thing, when Charles Manson dies, what happens? Is he forgiven? What happens to Manson? And we got a very clearly, very staccato, choppy, we want him.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't ask any more questions because of the we part of we want him. I didn't want to know. Whoever we is, you can stay anonymous. I'm good.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. It's a very, you know, kind of sensitive matter with everything that went along surrounding those murders. But I know since you have started investigating that you also started hosting, and now you are a host reporter for Paranormal 13 News. Can you tell us a little bit about how that all came about and where we can listen in?
Definitely. And I'm still learning, too. So Paranormal 13 News did a first season. I heard about it after that.
Mm-hmm.
And then I connected with the one woman, Pedrosha Onikawa, who's very sweet and just, like, so inspirational. She gets stuff done. And so I just connected with her. So I've done a lot of broadcast stuff. I'm an investigator for a number of years now. I'm both coasts. So she looked at some of my work, and she was like, yeah, no, we want to bring you on board. And so we shot segments. And so basically some of us are our field reporters, where they give us segments that come from, I guess, the heads of production, and then we film our little segments like the reporters do out in the field.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have a main studio set up. So from what I understand, internationally, it's going to be on in different countries like in China. I know domestically they said Amazon and Roku and Comcast Cable and DirecTV and Dish Network have a channel that it's going to show on. So I've not yet seen personally the scope of what the exposure is, but my season 2 is already filmed. I'm waiting for the third one to start. And so that's going to just start rolling out in some of those channels. So I'm actually excited to see where this goes also, but really, really fun opportunity for sure to be a reporter. And they take stories that are ghost stuff, cryptid stuff, just mysterious stuff, and they assign it to the given reporters, and we kind of file our report and then send it back to the studio, so to speak, and then they'll comment on it there when it airs, I guess, on a given episode.
Well, congratulations on that. It sounds amazing.
Thanks very much. It should be fun. I'm definitely looking forward to seeing where it goes.
And I know besides hosting, you're also a contributor and collaborator with New Jersey-based Unseen Paranormal. Can you tell us about your role within the team and how you first joined the group?
By the way, one of the nicest intros I have ever heard of myself. I was actually intrigued about who I was, and I never cared about myself until I heard my intro on this show.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for that. That was awesome. I'm a clown, if you haven't figured that out yet. I'm on Paranormal Society out of Long Island, run by a gentleman named Matt Haas. And so my girlfriend and I are on that team, and we became friends and met through a lot of the Paracons and the local events and stuff here. A couple of ladies, Haiti and Taryn, or Taz, her nickname is, from Unseen.
Mm-hmm.
And so the people who were in Unseen in New Jersey are a collection of those who had been on or tried to run teams and were thwarted by a lot of the, as they call it, paradrama, and everybody who has different rules, and you can't say this and you can't do that. And so they decided to kind of have a loose collection of people on a quote-unquote team of people who are part of that specific little team because they want to be. They like the other people. They enjoy working with them. And so that's what Unseen is. Unseen is a collaboration of people who enjoy each other, have similar interests, and enjoy doing the investigations together. Whereas Island Paranormal is the actual official team that we're a part of, And because they're not a drama-filled organization, they're totally cool with and very happy about that we collaborate with other teams, because that's how you learn stuff in this field. I have learned stuff
from
almost everything I've gone to. So.
Yeah, it's, you know, just being on a team with different people, you learn so many new ways of investigating, kind of you can figure out different equipment. I know there's a lot of people in the field who build their own equipment. So, you know, when you have that collaborative state, it's really great to, you know, figure out new things in the paranormal, because it is a learning process pretty much from the time you start till beyond. I mean, so just getting new information is always so good in the field.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the learning never stopped. And it's a misconception to think that if I'm doing this longer than you, that I can't learn from you or vice versa. I learn from different people with different stuff all the time. I might learn what not to do. I might learn a different way to do something I love doing, but, oh, I never thought about doing it this way. So, yeah, it's the more you can interact with different groups and different teams at different events. And I've had the pleasure of working with folks like you guys on the West Coast, and David Ullman, and then Matthew Schultz, who runs the other stuff at the Queen Mary. And that, and Adam Nodler from SIU in Pasadena. And those experiences are why I know whatever I know. And that's my foundation to know what I'm going to know tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, it's just great because, you know, it's really just a sharing of information. It's kind of like, you know, a Reddit forum or something, you know, where you just go and you're able to state your beliefs and kind of build off of that from other people's beliefs and, you know, opinions on the field or, you know, techniques.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. And plus, this is something that 99%, I think, percent of us, most of us do out of a passion or curiosity or some kind of a personal experience or a collection of those things. And so if you can't have some level of, I mentioned being a clown, but you got to know when to buckle down. But at the same time, like a certain level of laughter and levity in an event, to me, you're asking spirits to use energy to manifest, to make something move, make yourself known, whatever. Those things are those requests for them to put forth or use an energy. I think it's a very one-sided relationship if you don't put some back. So I think when you have those pockets of laughter and you have a little bit of fun and the energy is kept positive that way, I feel like you're giving back to the same environment you're asking to take from. You just have to know when to rein it in. But I definitely think that's, it's a balanced cycle to have a little bit of give back, too, in a positive way.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, you know, dealing with death is a very serious thing. But if I was dead, I would prefer someone that's not as serious, you know, trying to talk to me. I would want someone much more fun just because that's how I am in life. I like to laugh. I like to make people laugh. So that's pretty much just what I would want. So I try to, you know, stay serious, but also not be so serious that the ghost isn't going to want to talk to me.
Yeah, the ghost or the other people there. A lot of times you go to the event, you pay for a room. If you have a ticket for an event sometimes, you're going to put some time and energy and passion and money and whatever behind stuff. That, you know, the gear that you said, some people build it. There's a guy in Jersey, Robert Bandoff, him and his wife Sandra run a group called Barefoot. He's an airplane mechanic, but he builds equipment. He's like a MacGyver of the paranormal.
Oh, wow.
He makes – I don't know how he does it. I know how to turn the on button on. And I'm proud of that. He's making stuff. So, but, yeah, so many people like that are in this field are brilliant, and they make this even more exciting, and they come out with the new gadgets and toys and new theories on how we might be able to corroborate between sound and temperature and barometric pressure, and those people are brilliant, and the more of them that get into this field, the better.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know how people build things either. If I looked at, like, a circuit board, my brain would probably just slowly start shutting down. So I'd try not to look at circuit boards.
Yeah, no, I totally get it, too. I don't know how they do it, but I'm grateful that they do because, you know, some of those things have been really, really positive for evidence capture. They made the event enjoyable. And you know, if you have a hobby – you know, people who ski buy skis and the clothes and, you know, every hobby has a price tag, right?
Yeah, definitely. Some more expensive than others. But, you know, I would love to say I could build things because I like building things, but the reality of it is I would probably injure myself with a soldering gun, which you need when building electronics. So it's probably not safe for me.
No, yeah, I'm with you, too. I'm happy that I got past the electric toothbrush. I'm not going for a soldering gun.
Yeah, no, I'm going to leave that for people who know what they're doing. But I know in the promotional banner today that you were captioned with Annabelle. Can you tell us a little bit about what you initially felt when meeting Annabelle the doll and how you were able to gain access to her?
Sure. So my girlfriend Lourdes and I were invited to go up to an event last October, a Halloween event. There's a couple of them a couple times a year, too. By Tony Spera, Tony and his wife Judy Spera. They are Tony is the son-in-law of and Lorraine Warren, if you know from the Conjuring and Annabelle movies, of course. And
yeah.
So and their tech guy is a really cool guy named Tim Dalton. So we had talked, we're friendly, and so we went up to the event. And it was a dinner and stuff, and they had the shadow doll that was made out of like fingernails and feathers and stuff, and they had Annabelle. They had I think it was a haunted scrying mirror, and they had a couple of things. So they bring them out of the museum to these events. And so the initial feel, I felt a little bit more uneasy, to be honest, around the I think it's called the shadow doll. I can send you a picture of it. Then I did Annabelle. But they said that whenever they take Annabelle out, they have a priest, they do prayers over it. If the doll ever slumps in the case, they put their hands in holy water and then rubber gloves, and then they tilt it back up, and then they close it back up, and they do prayers over it again. Like, they don't let you mix oils with it. And I know that with your gifts, you understand what I'm talking about. He doesn't want you to cross oils with it, so they stay in the case. You can't touch it. It felt pretty serene the time I was there. I didn't get anything bad off of the doll. The only time that I've ever been anywhere recently, and this may be somewhere you know from television, that really gave me bad
yeah.
feelings until the group with the laughter we were just talking about was able to kind of shift the energy collectively, was the Hinsdale House in Hinsdale, New York. That place, just on the approach, six of us went, and we were getting anxious, nauseous, nervous, you name it, in the approach to the house, and it was really, really heavy. But that was something you would expect maybe around the Annabelle doll, but not so much. But that Hinsdale House, wow. That place has a lot of stuff going on. And I know you're gifted and you feel and sense and see, and that place would really just it would wreak havoc on your senses. It's really crazy.
Yeah, there's some locations out there that are super intense and objects. The shadow doll you're describing sounds very creepy just describing it. So I can imagine what it would be like in person.
Yeah, it had a lot. I felt from that a little bit more of a, I don't want to go too close to this thing, from it compared to Annabelle. I didn't really get anything off of, but you know, sometimes we impose these feelings on ourselves with expectations. Sometimes some people are sensitive in different ways to other stuff. But so that was my experience. The Annabelle thing wasn't really so bad, but that other doll was a little bit creepy. That was the first time in a while I probably thought about sleeping with the lights on. But other than that, it was a fun event.
Well, that's very awesome that you were able to experience that in person. I do know we have to take a quick commercial break, though. We will be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Feel free to jump into the LiveParanormal.com chat room. It only takes a second to sign in, get yourself an avatar, and you're part of the LP family. Cody and Louie are already in the chat room, and we're chatting away in there, too. So feel free to call into the show as well, 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. Also in the chat room, if you jump in over there, we're posting links for our guest today, Ron, and as well, if you write any questions for Ron, make sure you do it in all caps so we can distinguish between the regular chat. Because today we have, he's also known as the Yak Man, Ron Yakovetti, reporter for Paranormal 13 News. He's an MMA boxing commentator, stand-up comedian, and everyone, visit islandparanormalsociety.com. That's islandparanormalsociety.com. They go unseen.com and seen like seen in a movie. So they go unseen.com, also at unseenpara, and Facebook search Ron Iacovetti. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the paranormal rock star, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on liveparanormal.com.
Hey, this is Rick Hayes, the psychic medium, life consultant, author, and lecturer, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com. Believe.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
This is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with my ghost story on Biography. You are listening to the Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli, weekly 12 p.m. to 2 p.m. on liveparanormal.com.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. Today we have Ron, the Yakman Iacovetti, on the program. Everyone visit islandparanormalsociety.com. That's islandparanormalsociety.com. Also, theygounseen.com. That's theygounseen.com. Also, Facebook by search, Ron Iacovetti. Feel free to call into the show, 619-639-4606. That's 619-639-4606. I'm posting Ron's links into the chat room, too, as well. And also, speaking of quickly coming back into the show, we have a question from Cody in the chat room. I know you just got out to the East Coast, too, Ron. Have you ever worked with Robert the Doll in Florida? Let me see. I'm trying to unmute him and Sophie at the same time. There we go. It looks like it's taking now. Ron, have you ever worked with Robert the Doll?
I have not worked with Robert the Doll. One of the places I have not gotten to investigative-wise on the East Coast is Florida. It was a slow ramp-up. When I first moved back, I was with a group that wasn't active, and then eventually I worked through other groups and different people introduced me to more and more places. So I probably investigated as far north as Massachusetts, and very recently, actually. And then I'm supposed to do some stuff coming up with a group called RTL Paranormal, and also a group called Dead Is Not the End. They're an ITC consulting out of Virginia. So I've not gotten down to Florida yet, but I do know about Robert the Doll, and I would not mind having that experience, but I've not had it yet.
Right. Great question, Cody.
Yeah.
Well, thank you again so much for coming on today, Ron.
Oh, my God. Thank you. I'm so proud of what I see you've done. You were a kid when I met you, and so you've consistently been an active and positive player and participant in the field, and so we need more of that. So I'm really, to me, this is an honor to be on here, so I appreciate it.
And speaking of kids, does your son have any interest in the field?
Perfect question at the perfect time. So when I went to Massachusetts just recently, I was at a Comic-Con for Paranormal 13 News, and I realized I had Friday and Saturday nights wide open. My son's 12. He's going to be 13 in June. And so a few friends that I have, their children, male or female, started at 13. So I went, all right. So his mom was out of town, and he was with me, and I went, you know what? This is going to be it. So I reached out to a friend of mine named Mark Arvilla. He runs a Salem Con. He's done like 5 or 6 years now strong. Super nice guy, really very intelligent investigator. And I asked him if he had any places he suggested I could look into. So not only did he suggest one place off the top of his head, which is the S.K. Pierce Mansion, which I believe was on either Ghost Adventures or Paranormal Lockdown, or I think Ghost Adventures may have had it. And he not only suggested it, he arranged it. So they weren't even open that night.
Oh, wow.
And he got me, and my son and my girlfriend in with the two women who run the facility for like 4 hours that night, just us. We had like exclusive access. So, and first of all, that says volumes about Mark Arvilla, because that's, you know, anytime somebody steps like that and does a favor for you is, you know, I always appreciate it. But the location was fantastic. And that was my son's first foray into paranormal investigating. And if he has an interest or a passion for it, I would love that to be a father-son bonding thing. I'm not going to force it on him, but he does seem to be less and less afraid and more interested. So.
Yeah, definitely. I started when I was 8, and it was always a family, you know, bonding time was going and investigating. I would fall asleep on some of the earlier investigations because I was 8, but, you know, it was really great to spend time with my family, and, you know, I started to get more and more used to the later nights as the older I got. So it's really great, you know, to spend time like that.
Yeah, I remember seeing that when I met you, and you were, like you said, you were a child, and when your folks were with you, I thought that was just like, it was a really, really cool, like, you guys have a really nice, tight, close family, and I thought that was awesome. And so that was always something I kept in the back of my mind, too, before I even met other people whose kids have done it, that if my son gets into this, you know, I would want to have something that was tight and close like that, too. So I didn't realize you started at 8, but wow, that's an amazing journey for you to be doing it that long already.
Thank you. Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. So it's a great time to, you know, discover the unknown. But I know that you have also investigated places like the Queen Mary, which was the first place I ever investigated. Can you tell us what you kind of felt and what you felt was the most active location on the ship?
That's an excellent question, especially for anybody who knows about knows the location. That was actually my first place that I ever did, too. And I love going there. I had found, for me personally, I know that a lot of people have gotten stuff in the pool area or the ladies' changing area in the pool area. For me, probably the most consistent, I gotten a couple things around the engine room area, but the boiler room 3, which was closed for a while. I know they were doing work on the ship, but they couldn't get through that area. But that is probably the most active for me. The two best captures I've gotten visually were on that ship. One was in 2013. The doorway to Boiler Room 3 from the big lit-up gallery that used to be an engine room way back in the day. The lady I was with at the time, she and I walked ahead. The guide was like, you know, Matthew said, go ahead, you can walk. You've heard my spiel. So security let us in from the engine room. Everybody on the tour, and it was oversold that night. They sold too many tickets on the web, so it was like 40 people. And the security guard, and they're all behind us. We walked ahead because he said, go ahead. I took a picture of the corner, the doors of the boiler room in the other corner, and 5 or 6 hours later when I'm home, there's a shadow figure, robed, hooded shadow figure, standing in that doorway that was not there when I took the picture, at least to the naked eye. They sell the book Ghosts of the Queen Mary. That picture's been published in it. They vetted it to make sure it wasn't manipulated, which I would never do, but, you know, honesty is not always part and parcel with every investigator, I guess. And then 2 years later, I forget, when I was on the ship, I wanted to take pictures. I got a lot of pictures of the observation bar in the front, very Art Deco, brass, ornate, beautiful. I realized I don't have a picture of the doorway on the way in that says observation bar. So I looked in the bar. It was a quiet time. There's nobody in there customer-wise. One waitress. She walked from the door across the other side to the bar. Clear picture. Took it. I didn't find it for months later, but there's an image in the window just outside the observation bar of what looks like a woman looking down at the side profile of a child's head.
Oh, wow.
And I zoomed in, and I'm like, all right, this is odd. The next is a funny story. The next year, my girlfriend and I go back, and we go, we're going to see if we can debunk the picture. We're going to see if there's something out there that could have caused that image to look that way, or maybe we can explain it rationally, you know, which I believe you should always do. For me, I don't believe in being a skeptic. I don't believe in being a believer. Matter of fact, your family's friend, Peter James, has the best quote ever, which is, for the believer, no evidence is necessary. For the skeptic, no evidence will do. We're close enough to the exact quote. I love that because that's the truth. You should have a level of both open-minded belief and skepticism, 100%. So we try to debunk the picture. And so we get a table in the outer part of the bar area near the window, the same window. And we get up one at a time, and we walk out of the room, and we're doing that thing people do when you put your hands up like two L's, like you're trying to frame a picture, and then we switch places. And then we do it again, and the waitress stops. She goes, are you guys going to order anything? Because we look like two psychopaths running in and out of the room like we don't want to talk to each other. And we're trying to explain this freaking picture just so we can rule out if it's anything kind of rational or there's something there, but we could not. I have no explanation for why there was two faces in that photo. I'll send you both of those after the show if you want, but not explainable from our point
of
view, at least not now.
Thanks. And an active location all over. I mean, you never know what you'll see there. The pool area seems, you know, maybe overhyped or over-talked about, but it truly lives up to the hype. I mean, it is so active and so intense when you go in there. It's like nothing I've ever seen before.
I agree 100% too. Yeah, and I know your family has a good relationship with Peter. I love that quote for that reason, because there are certain people that I've come across since I've been doing it who are hardcore skeptics, and I feel like if you have an agenda, like people who are politically driven just by one side, if you have an agenda and you're not serving the greater cause, you're already going in with a bias and you're already wrong. Like if I said everything that happens is paranormal, everything is a ghost, nobody skeptical or even moderate would think I was right, because it can't be, right? You have to try to rationalize and figure things out as you go. So that whole skeptical thing, like they throw around pareidolia the way WebMD throws around headache, you know? Headache is a symptom of, you know, death and everything else, and then headache. And so I feel like every investigation to me is its own entity, and I go in and I get what I can get, and I assess to the best of my ability, the same way people grade EVPs and evidence. Class A, it's slam dunk. B, it sounds like something, whatever. Always with a level of discernment, but never with a bias, because, you know, you can go to – I've been to the Queen Mary countless times. I didn't get evidence every time I went. So if my mind is playing tricks on me the time that I got it, why didn't it always play tricks on me? And that's the thing that the skeptics can't tell you. They can't tell you when you use a spirit box and I go, what's the name of the ship? The Queen what? And it says Mary very clearly while it's sweeping through radio. They go, well, the voice could have come through over a series of frequencies. That's true. But if you're telling me that the very moment I asked for it, it came through a series of frequencies in the exact moment when I was playing it, when I asked that question, then I want to know when those radio stations are giving away cash prizes and new cars, because I have phenomenal timing. There's no way that happened at the same time. And they don't explain the gap. What I mean by the gap is every time you ask a question on a spirit box or an ITC or even EVP, right, you always want an answer. Even if it's multiple choice, you always have an answer that you're looking for. So if it's pareidolia, if every time you get – because they debunk everything you get, you say, as evidence. They say, no, it's your mind is playing tricks. It's pareidolia. It's matrixing, whatever. And those things happen. But they can never explain the difference between the one time I got it and the 99 times I didn't. Why did my mind not play tricks on me these other 99 times? Why were these other 99 not pareidolia? They can't tell you that. So – the most probably abused word in the field from where I'm seeing it is the word debunked. If you've explained something away rationally, it's been debunked. If you've put forth a possibility that it's not paranormal, you've created doubt. They're not the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. Right. I mean, it's very hard with the paranormal because my belief is I'm totally fine with people being skeptics because the field is extremely hard to believe if you don't experience it yourself. Because
yep.
It's different when you actually have your own personal experiences versus thinking, well, I would like to have it, but I don't necessarily believe anything I see because it hasn't actually happened to me.
Right, right. No, I know, and that's, I love those people. I love the seeing is believing people. They go, well, ghosts, you don't believe in ghosts. Why not? I haven't seen any. So by that same stretch of logic, I don't believe in Montana. I've never seen it. People have pictures of it. So as far as I know, Montana mm-hmm. is a myth.
Right.
Yeah, I think that's very similar to a lot of conspiracy theories out there, too, where it's you can't disprove it because you can't actually tell me that it hasn't happened.
Right, and that's the key. That's the key distinction is they've created doubt they have not debunked. It's not the same thing. I always say if you had a loved one get thrown in prison for life, on the strength of the evidence that you're using to say you've debunked something, you would be pissed. You would be like, hey, that's not enough. That's not even beyond reasonable doubt. Exactly. So you can't say debunked just because you've created doubt. You posed the possibility, and that's brilliant. You haven't debunked it. You've provided an alternate explanation that might be true. That's the thing. You mentioned earlier in the show, too, about the equipment and the gear and the advancements we've got. In some ways, I feel like the technology in paranormal investigating has had a yin-yang effect. It had a plus and a minus to it. Like, it's moved us forward and at the same time slightly back because, like, where you had photo negatives before, I don't remember the cemetery in the Midwest with that famous picture of the lady sitting on the grave. It was taken with a camera.
Oh.
Photo negative. If you even touched it, you would know it was tampered with.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But because of the technology we have, while it's moved us forward with SLS cameras and ghost boxes and stuff, and it's created better captures of evidence, it's also created a heightened sense of hoaxing or stuff being manipulated because of the ability to do stuff like on Photoshop, and those kind of things didn't exist before. So we've moved forward and slightly back, I think, with the technology. So a lot of times it's really the merits of who you're talking to. And to be honest, I don't know, for me personally, if I don't know, I won't speak beyond my knowledge. Like I don't, people see
mm-hmm.
something on Facebook and they go, oh, that's BS. They made it up. The security camera's faked and they blah, blah, blah. You don't know that.
Right.
You think that. That's a
yeah.
possibility. But you don't know that. So I don't speak to what I know. I won't say that your evidence is crap because I don't know that it is. If you hoaxed it, that's on you. If you're putting something bad into the field that's not positive and you fake something, that's on you. But I can't prove it. So, and I feel like when they do that, they poison the same pool that they're swimming in, right? We're all part of the same community. We're all in this together. So when everybody goes at everybody because nobody else's evidence is real except for mine, then you're polluting the same waters you're swimming and drinking in. So, I mean,
yeah,
I don't know. I'm
definitely.
Gonna get along.
Well, here in the chat room,
there's
Cody in the chat room who's unfortunately just found the show for the first time and wished that they knew about the show sooner. But Cody's asking, I know you've been to Eastern State Penitentiary, but Cody's asking if you've ever been to Waverly Hills.
Ah, so I have not been to Waverly. It is on my bucket list. I've heard nothing but good stuff about that place. I definitely want to go. Eastern State, I have been to. Eastern State, if many of us who do this have like a historical appreciation, right? We have an admiration and affinity for these places of historic value, 17-something. White Hill Mansion in Fieldsboro, New Jersey, was built in 1723. For some perspective, that's 53 years before this was the United States of America. That's old. That's beyond rent control. Like, that's
yeah.
old, right? So, some of these places are just phenomenal from a historical point of view. Eastern State was a little bit on the quiet side as far as evidence goes when I went, but a phenomenal location.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, if you and your family ever come out here, I want you to tell me. I will do whatever I can to set up places if you want to go or give you recommendations. Haldeman Mansion in Bainbridge, Pennsylvania, a phenomenal location. There's a group in New Jersey called New Jersey Paranormal. John Ruggiero and Chris Theron run it. They do several places just in the state of New Jersey that are really, really cool, very active. Caldwell Parsonage House in Union, New Jersey. And some of those places, but Waverly is one of the places that is on my bucket list for sure.
Yeah, definitely. It seems like such an awesome location. I would personally love to investigate there someday. But if we are ever on the East Coast, hopefully sometime soon, we will definitely let you know. It'd be great to investigate with you again. But on the East Coast.
Yeah, that would be fun. Yeah, I would love that.
Definitely. And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but is there anything that you do before, during, or after an investigation as means of protection?
That's an excellent question. Most of the time, some form of protective, either prayer, some groups will do something collectively. I've done the sage and lavender before. Definitely some kind of a clear statement, even if just internally, that you're not coming with me. This is, you know, I'm leaving. Every time I do a communication session, too, I'm always clear about that.
Yeah.
I'm coming with respect. I'm going to show respect. I absolutely expect and command that I get the same in return. I had one instance when I lived in California, but I did have something attached for like a month. That was when I was living in Burbank. Great story now. Not so much at the time. But
yeah, for sure.
Those things, you know, if you look at the positive side, those things is a learning experience. It gave me a better sense of being grounded and centered, and I'm a lot more guarded and wise to not having something like that happen again. And some places when an investigation tour is over, they don't do that. And I think if it's a public one, sometimes they might not, because maybe they don't want to freak people out and think that they need to do something protective. But I'll most often do something like what I described. Just for myself, because I've had experiences in both the plus and negative column before, so.
Yeah, and I get what you mean with the attachment. I mean, I've never had one, but I lived in a haunted house, and it's great information, you know, looking back on it, being able to have that kind of knowledge of that part of the paranormal, actually living with something, but it completely sucks when you actually are living with it at that point in time.
Yeah, if I can, I'll give you a real, real short version of it. I was getting anxiety and nervousness, like in the solar plexus, for no reason. I woke up with scratches on my face.
Oh,
I had
wow.
a heat dish for the winter. That's like, it looks like a satellite dish, or you know, on the floor, and it's got a safety thing. If you bump it, it goes eh, so that it doesn't start a fire and get knocked over. It was going off like a REM pod. All right. So then I thought, I'm feeling something's wrong. Talked to the leader of the group. I was in California. He talks to one of the shamans. She goes, it's something very dark. It's not very powerful, but it's messing with you. Come in Saturday. This is on Thursday. I'll get rid of it. And she did. On Friday, after that, and she said it's been there like a month, but it was building up, you know, I guess, energy to be able to do anything. On the Friday between the day I realized that, and then I went to get rid of it on Saturday. That Friday, I picked my son up from his mom. He was like six or so at the time. And I said, in the car, we're going to stop at the supermarket real fast, pick a couple things up, we're going to go home. I named like five things. We get in the store, and this is actually kind of funny because I saw, I don't know if it was Nick Roth or somebody posted something about it not that long ago, about this kind of a thing happening, but it really freaking happened to me. I'm in the supermarket, and two of the items that I named in the car flew off the shelf and landed in front of me. And I watched it. A big package of the American cheese, like 12 slices or whatever, popped out of the bin and hit the floor when I got to it. That was one of the items. Then I watched a loaf of bread as I approached the bread section slide out of the second shelf from the top and land on the floor. I watched it. So if anybody thinks I'm full of caca, and that's Spanish for caca, by the way, that's okay. But I watched those things happen, and that's not my usual shopping experience.
Yeah, that's definitely kind of terrifying. It would be much more helpful, though, if it had landed in your cart or something. But
absolutely.
I want to thank you so much for coming on today, Ron. It's been great talking to you, and hopefully we'll see each other again soon.
Definitely. Thank you. It's been my pleasure. Any of my social media outlets that you see, post on them and use them. My network is your network. I'm very happy to have been able to do this with you. I'm a fan and supporter of yours and what you guys do for life. So anytime I can be of any help in any way, you let me know.
Well, thank you so much.
Thanks,
and we'd definitely love to have you back on in the future.
Yeah, and I want to let Cody and Louie in the chat room know that they can contact you, too, because I know Cody had more questions for you in the chat room. But, yeah, thanks so much, Ron. We hope to see you soon.
Yeah, so if I come out there in November, I'm definitely going to let you know. I would love to see you guys. I really would.
Oh,
totally.
Cool.
Well,
all right,
thanks, Ron.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ron. And great show today, Sophia.
Definitely. Ron was such a great guest. I want to thank you all for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you, and I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Yeah, either next week or the week after, we have Katrina Weidman. She'll be on the program to she's going to promote. I want to thank Travel Channel in advance, too, as well, for coming on, promoting portholes to help with Jack Osborne, her new show coming up. For also for you guys that want to contact Ron, islandparanormalsociety.com. That's islandparanormalsociety.com. theygounseen.com. And also, so for main point of contact for Ron, just by search Ron Iacovetti on Facebook. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on liveparanormal.com. We'll see you next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on liveparanormal.com and history.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.